Hi, this is Hannah Lazar, and I am on the phone with Chevy Sabah. Hi, Chevy.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. I am so honored to be on the phone with a DJ such as yourself.
No.
Oh, gosh. Someone that's been spinning for over 20 years, you know. Got back from India last month, spinning in Goa.
Yeah, I did a few shows in Goa and also started a new record in New Delhi.
Oh, so how was your trip?
Trip was fine. Actually, it was 5 weeks, which is really a long time for me to go anywhere. But it was really really pleasant. Lots of stories. I also went to the Kumbh Mela in Allahabad.
Oh wow.
I mean, me and other 17 million people went there,
Yeah. I've been to India only once, and I was there for about the same time, but only northern India, so.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, you can only see half of it at one time, I think.
Yeah, it takes a few times. I mean, every time I go, I kind of go, almost every year, So I try to go somewhere I've never been, but it's just... I don't know how many lifetimes it would take to go to all the places one would want to go.
Oh, I know. It's a vast place.
Very.
Yeah. Well, Goa is similar to a Mecca for trance music, I would say. What other DJs on New Year's Eve were you spinning with?
Well, I went there because the medieval pandits, they had a couple shows booked. And one of them was New Year's Eve. So they got me on the bill. And
wow.
Then besides that, I did a couple of other parties on my own. And it was interesting. It was interesting. Actually, the parties I did on my own went better than the one that, everybody is expecting, kind of like trance music, although New Year's Eve wasn't exactly that way. But this time in Goa, actually, most parties didn't happen or, it had to be over by 10 p.m.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was some, there was some weird, on the one hand with the police.
Okay.
On the other hand, there's some, club mafia there who kind of, bust every party because he pays the police and then the only party he can go is his party.
Right. That
kind of tactics. And on top of that, there was also, for New Year's Eve, there was supposedly an Al-Qaeda warning that New Year's Eve bombs will go off.
Oh, no.
Well, that didn't make things simple. Although, of course, nothing happened. Most Israelis actually weren't in Goa this year. It looks like they went to Rajasthan instead.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, because of, that threat was there. I mean, it was in the paper every day. Nobody knew why or how. But at the same time, if it's really going to be a threat, I think it would be a surprise rather than, announcing it.
Right.
So in the end, nothing happened, and the parties went on, but not really many parties, and some people were on the beach and having parties and stuff, but really most of it got closed down by the police, so there was only this one place one could go. And it was kind of rough there, it was like a 3-day party.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know Goa this year, and I usually, when I go to Goa, I don't really stay that long, but this time, staying 2 weeks, I got a good perspective on the Goa scene,
Definitely. Yeah, if you spend longer than a week in one city, you can get kind of an idea as to what it's like.
Yeah. I mean, it's still very pleasant. You can swim Christmas Eve,
Yeah. Those famous caves in Goa.
And, you know, it's a place where you go and basically there's not much to do there except smoke a lot, you know.
Yes. So you mentioned you're working on a new album in New Delhi. Is that La Griba, or that's been completed, right? That was a remix of La Cajina, right?
Yeah, La Griba was that, and then so there was time for the next album, and you know, I thought I'd go back to India for the next one and see what happens.
So for those people who are just turning on to your music, La Griba was a remix of La Cajina, which uh-huh. was a combination of traditional Arab and Jewish, South Asian, North African type of mix, right?
Yeah, because there were no South Asian there, really. It was all basically North Africa and women singing. That was the theme. It was women from North Africa singing.
So beautiful. I love that album.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh yeah. My favorite song is that Ture Ture. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Tura.
La Tura. Yeah, oh gosh. I love that song.
Yeah, it's actually also a lot of babies and children like that one because it's really easy to sing along, you know?
Right. I was just going to say my girls love dancing to that song. When they hear it, they're just bopping up and down, you know? They love it.
it's cool because it's catchy melody, you know?
Yeah, it is.
The new album is kind of a call and response style of singing, including Qawwali musician. Qawwali musician. So it would be, I guess, kind of like Qawwali trip hop, you know. So that's the idea. But it involves a lot of musicians. I mean, first the groups themselves, and then. Most likely in April I go back and I do all the overdubs, which are, you know, the other instruments that come in to already what's being recorded, including like maybe the Madras String Orchestra, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I love it I love your music because it's, and people that listen to my interviews know this about me, but I love when DJs mix traditional music with spinning, you know, with spinning trance beats and hip hop beats.
Yeah.
And I love that. And you've mastered it. And you really are bringing to life old music and really making youth around the world appreciate these traditional sounds.
Thank you, dear. Because, you know, I'm not a musician per se. I mean, yeah, I you know, I'm a DJ, which is, I guess, a different kind of musician, but as a producer, you know, I don't know the difference between C sharp and A minor, basically, you know, I have no idea. But I do know what I want to hear.
Right.
So I think what happened in the last 10 years or so is that, you know, DJs who actually, you know, listen and edit a lot of music from all over, come to a point where actually you know what you want to hear. So that's when you start to produce. You produce music you want to hear. Now, the way I do it is that I don't sample anything. I just go places and I first record the musicians and we talk about the theme and what I want. And then once those recordings are done, then comes everything on top of that, which means it's no more mixing or spinning. It's more like, you know, composing, arranging, and producing. And usually those kind of, for me anyway, those records have involved, you know, 40 to 50 musicians.
Oh my God.
for each album, yeah.
So when you spin live, are you using vinyl or CDs or something else?
No, I don't use vinyl because the music I play does not come out on vinyl. And it's also, even if it was, it has become not very practical. We are spinning mostly if you take a lot of airplanes. So everybody has minimized the weight and the bulk. Even the people that used to swear with vinyl. Me, it's a different story because from, let's say, the last 15, 17 years, you know, the music I've been playing just doesn't exist, doesn't come out on vinyl.
Yeah, so that's true.
I had to adapt and adjust years ago to, you know, I used to spin vinyl and cassettes and started with CDs. But these days, yeah, it's more in the digital domain than the analog vinyl thing.
So what do you think, other than people just... the DJs themselves and the producers themselves wanting to hear this type of music, what do you think is sparking this craze in the United States on modern global music in the last 10 years? Because it's now becoming, it's definitely not mainstream, but it's becoming more popular.
Well, you know, if you take all the different styles of, let's say, dance music, which, you know, I know there's many, many styles, but you can really break it down in, you know, hip-hop, house, trance, drum and bass, breakbeats. These days, it seems that everybody's doing breakbeats. With all that music and all those different styles of music, it's like nobody really knows what is next. I mean, how do you make, let's say, you could be making really good house music, but how do you make the next step in house music?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people have started to, you know, being influenced by different sounds. And of course, most people sample those sounds and then they incorporate them into whatever style of music they do. Well, I guess it's exciting. It sounds good. And it's like trying new food. You know, you could be eating American food, you know, all the time. And then one time you go, yeah, I'm going to go for Indian food, you know. So when you start listening to Indian music, and a lot of Indian today, modern music is actually very exciting and it's as danceable and as sophisticated as any other style of music out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you really, as a DJ, you really have to when you're mixing different genres of music, you have to really understand a lot about music in general. I mean, maybe not necessarily A minor and B flat, like you were saying,
right,
but you really have to understand rhythms and how people dance and how people breathe in their music, basically.
Yeah, of course, but I always say, you know, it's still... It remains half and half, you know. It's like a give and take. It's an exchange with the dance floor. And it's not just the DJ, well, okay, here's what I do, and you deal with it. I try to take every situation, every dance floor, where it's always a give and take. situation, because the DJ without the dance floor means nothing, and the dance floor without the DJ means nothing.
Yeah.
So it's got to be 50-50.
That's true. You're working off of the energy from your crowd.
And yeah, and vice versa.
And vice versa, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, always. I mean, that's actually, that is the challenge, and that is the most exciting thing, because the result is instantaneous. You know, it's like if you wrote a book or make a movie and you work on it, and you don't see the results until way later, and at the same time, you can't be going to every movie theater and see the reaction of the people watching your movie.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you couldn't be with every person reading the book and see how they, you know, react to the book. But as a DJ, you see it right away, which is really cool, actually, because it's instant, you know.
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
Imagine you make a painting and you spend years on it, and then, okay, the painting is done, and then people go see it, but you're not there except for the opening.
Right.
But after that, you kind of have no idea. Was on the dance floor, you know, right away, it's right there. It's right there in your face, you know?
Yes.
Well, it's just an observation, you know.
It's true. It's true, though. So you initially came from Algeria, then you moved to Paris, and now you currently reside in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, something like that. With a few places in between, but basically, yeah, that's the arc. Yeah.
So how long have you been spinning global electronica in the United States?
Now it's probably 18 years.
And where's your favorite place to play in the whole world?
You know, it's like everywhere so far. I mean, I feel very fortunate because wherever I go, it's happening, you know. But I don't know. There's many places, you know. There's so many shows, many places. Although I must say, you know, LA is like has been very good to me. There's a huge South Asian fan base for me there.
Mm-hmm.
And but then again, San Diego is really cool. I mean, really everywhere is cool. So, you know, spinning in Moscow was also really cool, and it's totally different, of course. But you know, they were so nice there and so attentive to details. And you know, you walk into a club, and the first person you meet is the artistic director. It's like, wow, there's no artistic director in America. When you stop in a club, it's just, okay, here's the stage, here's the whatever, you know. So Moscow was, you know, in that way was really incredible, because you go, like, really, artistic? And then the artistic director asks you if everything is okay, if you need this, that. And I did a couple shows in this place called Govinda. And the amazing thing is that the night of the show, there was a line outside, and to greet the people, they had a beautiful woman, you know, dressed in a sari, and they also had a cow totally decked out, just like in India, you know, with
wow.
The forehead. And, you
know, with the...
That was their idea of doing a show, is have a hostess with a cow. I guess maybe it's easy to find a cow in Moscow. I don't know, but you know, I mean, I was like, wow, that's a nice touch. And then they got me dancers. They were like,
wow,
Bolshoi, ballet troupe. And like those dancers were like, they did like four costume changes. They were so, so coordinated and so beautiful and everything. Troupe. And like those dancers were like, they did like four costume changes. They were so, so coordinated and so beautiful and everything. So I was like, okay, that's doing shows in Moscow, you know, so like a different flavor, you know.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Kind of thing.
you've lived all these places and you've traveled so many places. How many languages would you say you speak now?
Well, I mean, being a week in Moscow doesn't allow me to speak Russian. I could say paka paka, but that's about it. No, I only speak like 3.5, kind of, you know. And a couple of them I can fake them pretty good, but I don't speak them, you know.
Not fluently.
No, I can fake them, you know.
That's like us, me with Spanish. I can speak conversational Spanish and get away with get it by, but I
Yeah.
couldn't do business with somebody in Spanish.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah.
So, is there anyone that you haven't shared the stage with that you would love to?
Share the stage with, and I would love to. You mean performing wise?
Yeah.
That's an unusual question. I don't know, dear. I mean, I have shared the stage with Don Cherry, who was one of my mentors, you know, and he was the first one to actually, and this is 18 years ago. He was like the first one to see that DJs could play, you know, with a band kind of thing, you know.
And that was in New York, right?
New York and San Francisco. We
Wow.
did, yeah, we did quite a few shows together, and also I ended up because you know I knew him 25 years, so I ended up also becoming his manager. But yeah, I mean that was one person, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people one would want to play with, but it's not so easy because you know you a DJ situation where you know musicians have to tune in. And it's not the easiest thing to tune into whatever the DJ is going to be playing. So unless you work on specific pieces that you would rehearse and all that and then do, that's one thing. But otherwise, just coming into a set of a DJ, not easy because every time you have to, if you're an instrument, I mean, there are some scales that, you know, it's impossible to tune in. And that's the thing about DJs, which, you know, some musicians kind of have a grudge with us, you know, because they think, what are we doing? It's so easy. We just push buttons, you
They should try doing it.
Well, in a way, it's true, but at the same time, you know, but that's another discussion, you know. At the same time, we are not limited by anything, you know. We can be playing, you know, music from, India, and then from there go to Turkey or go to Iraq or go to anywhere without the limitations of, you know, mostly when you encounter, let's say, you know, a musician from Mali, West Africa really knows, they really know their stuff. But if you tell them, okay, now we're going to play some Balinese music, there's no way they can tune and know how to play that music.
Right. They
You see,
can't
so it's
switch
very hard to
over.
go in and out of different styles and different scales. Whereas as a DJ, because it is already recorded, you can go anywhere in a split second. You go from here to there in, you know, like this song, okay, the next song, you have no idea what language it is in or where it's from. And that's the, you know, I guess that's what I've specialized into doing. And that's why, you know, people say, well, what do you do? And it's, no, it's not world music. It's not this. It's not that. What is it? It's hard to say, although these days we kind of accepted the label of global electronica
Right.
for lack of whatever, you know?
Yeah. Well, do you have another idea of another name we could call it?
No, not really. I've always fought world music because isn't it Irish music, world music? Yeah, because you know there was this thing. It's like world music was everything and anything that is non-Western, but is the West not part of the world?
Right. That's true.
So isn't it Ireland? Like so, okay, Ireland is not part of the world. So then Irish music is world music. I mean, what is Irish music for somebody from? You know, Kenya. Well, it's got to be world music for that person. So it
That's
gets a
true.
little bit, you know, murky there. Like, what is world music? What is not world music? Global electronica, I think, is a little better because it is electronic music. I think world music applies more to live bands.
Yes.
But when you talk about electronic music, then the word global, I guess, you know, suggests that it's. It can be music from anywhere on the globe, and that does include Ireland.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Chile and Iraq.
Of course, it's like, okay, that's the whole globe.
That's right.
It's the world we're talking about, you know? And then you see, you know, collaborations like, what is that group in England that has, you know, Celtic and Senegalese and Punjabi? It's a big group. I opened for them in at Stone Grove. I can't remember the name right now. So anyway, mm-hmm. this band has got like people from, you know, from Western Europe, from Senegal, and from Punjab.
Oh my gosh, really?
It's a really great group live too. And I'm sorry, I'm just blanking out, but I wish I could remember the name.
Well, how about we end with three of your favorite musical memories?
Three of, okay. Well, I guess the first one would be where and the way I grew up with the kind of music that we call Andalusian music, which is not Spanish or flamenco, but it's the Arab that was played and created in Spain before the Inquisition. And after the Inquisition, that music went back to North Africa. And there were people in my family that played that kind of music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That must have been cool.
They were like masters in that kind of music. In the city that we live, they were like the masters. Each city has a school, and of course, each school has their master. So I grew up with that kind of, you know, Arabic classical music. And that was a big deal with me because I still carry it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Second one, I'm not sure. I maybe playing with Don Cherry and spending so many years listening to music with him, because he was also the, you know, one of the first musicians, if not the first one, to actually incorporate and include and study music from India, Turkey, and other places.
Wow.
Yeah. And the other one maybe was I spent a couple of days, I co-produced the first show in the Bay Area with Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. It was a big deal for me, and actually he did tell me one thing which I kind of touched on earlier, but he said, you know, if there were only good musicians, it would be actually very boring.
Oh.
Besides the good musicians, you need the good listeners.
Oh, that's nice.
If you don't have the good listeners, then it doesn't mean anything. So you have to have good musicians, but you also have to have good listeners.
And as a DJ, you guys know that, you really know that best. You're, as you said, your music is nothing on the stage if there weren't the people dancing on the dance floor reacting to it. And
yeah. Yeah. And I think I also learned that with... you know, I spent a few years with the Living Theater as an actor, and we were always, you know, very concerned with audience participation.
Well, Shebby, it's an honor to talk to you. And what's the name of your new album that's going to be coming out?
No name yet.
Well, I'm going to have to look for it because I love everything you've done. So,
thank you. Well, it'll take a while to finish it, but... I'm sure you'll hear about it or see it somewhere, somehow.
Oh, I will. Well, you take care and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, and thank you for what you're doing. Also, it's very nice that you're supporting all of us and putting out all the effort to, you know, to maybe other people to discover something different or something. Anyway, you're doing a great service here.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you take care, Shebby.
Thank you, dear. You too.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Namaste.